Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you're enjoying the message preached by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Loma, the founder of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, titled Things to Keep. We will conclude that message today. I need to remind you that we have these sermons on CD format. If you would like your own copy of a sermon that you hear on the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, just give us the date or even the title as we give it to you on the program. And you can write to me. All that we ask is that you pray about giving something to help defray the cost and help us stay on your radio station. And you can write to me and make that request. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. This last weekend of the month of May, I am in Vincennes, Indiana, at the First Church of the Nazarene. Just be there for Sunday morning only. And then, starting May the 31st, which is a Friday night, through June the 2nd, Princeton, Indiana, First General Baptist Church. Then June 5 to 9, be traveling over to Louisville, Tennessee, a suburb of Knoxville, Tennessee, to the East Tennessee District Church of the Nazarene Camp Meeting. And then June 13 to 23, be traveling back to my home area where I grew up and one of the first camp meetings I ever attended as a child, with my father, Camp Wesley. That's in China Grove, North Carolina. I'll be there as the main tabernacle speaker for that camp meeting. So I do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these meetings and as I travel from place to place. Thanks so much for praying for us. It means more than you know. And as I've already noted, we need your help to stay on your radio station. So if you could write us a letter, if you haven't done so, and send us something, any gift of any amount. We are a listener-supported, faith-based program. We are a nonprofit ministry. We do not keep any of this money personally. It goes right back into the radio ministry. And you can help us stay on this station by writing to us and enclosing a gift. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I'd really appreciate it. Father, I pray for our listening audience today, and I pray that the message would continue to be a blessing to us and the music as well. Thank you for our listening audience. Be with those who have special needs today, who are sick, shut in, or bereaved, or whatever the need may be. We ask that you would apply your grace. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
My light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, out from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life,
no fear in death,
this is the power of Christ in me.
From life's first cry
to final breath,
Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand, here in the power of Christ I stand, I stand.
Sound words, something can hold on to, something that'll be good when the breathing gets short, something that you can hold on to when the storm's on and when all hell's turning against your soul. You can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and can stand fast in the faith. Hallelujah. He admonishes him to also keep the faith. The book says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're living in a day when the faith of a lot of people is being crushed. I feel sorry. Just let me say in passing, and I'm not saying it just wasting words, I thank God for schools like Circleville Bible College, where you can be assured that when your children go there, they don't have to have their faith torn to pieces and their faith crushed. I feel sorry for a lot of high school kids and college kids that have to sit under the feet of some godless professor that makes fun of the blood and the Bible and the virgin birth and the resurrection, the second coming, and the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad back there that I got my feet down and got established, because I've encountered that crowd along the way, but they came along too late for me. Brother, sister, there's a lot of this book that I don't understand, but I thank God every day for what I do understand and have a camp meeting in my soul because I believe all of it that I don't understand. Bless your heart, brother, sister. The faith lets you believe that he turned water into wine at Cana of Galilee and healed the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda that hadn't walked a step in 38 years and healed a nobleman's child 29 miles away at Capernaum and stilled the tempest on stormy Galilee and fed 5,000 with a few barley loaves and a few fish and opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus and raised Lazarus from the dead and stopped the funeral procession on the way to the cemetery, raised a young man to life and sent him home with his widowed mother. The faith lets you believe that he lived for 33 years on this earth, died an ignominious death on Calvary's cross, and the angels took the blood back to the mercy seat and preserved it so that in 1988, in the camp meeting at Circleville, some sin-benighted soul could kneel at the mercy seat, and the blood would be efficacious to cover their sins and set them free. The faith lets you believe that Joseph of Arimathea took him off that cross and placed him in a borrowed tomb, and the third day they went down, the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and somebody said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen." The faith lets you believe that he showed himself alive after his own passion by many infallible proofs, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. The faith lets you believe that he ascended up in a cloud, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go away into heaven." And beloved, before he went away, he says, "I'm a going, but I'm a coming back." And the faith lets you believe that one day he's going to step down on the clouds of the morning, that the trump of God's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and those that remain and are alive are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. And this mortal shall take on immortality, and this corruptible incorruption. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And ladies and gentlemen, that's the hope that hallows. That's something you can have in your soul that'll hold you steady and help you to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved, hear me. It's tremendous when we stop to think about how wonderful God is able to take care of us in the hour of extreme. Those three Hebrew boys came into town that day, and all of a sudden the music sounded, and everybody bowed but them. Somebody said, "Don't you know you're supposed to bow when that music sounds?" I don't know which one was the spokesman for the group, but one of them must have said, "We don't bow to idols." And the authorities found out about it, and they ushered them into the presence of the authorities, and they served notice that when that music sounds, you bow, or it's the fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. And beloved, there was three of them. That's a trio. I don't know whether they knew how to sing or not, and whether they had a melody to their song, but if they did, I can tell you the words of their song. It went something like this: "Be it known unto you this day, O King, that our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us, we won't bow down." You know why? Because they had a stalwart faith in the inner recesses of their soul that the God that had been faithful to them up to this time would be able to take care of them in the days ahead. And when that music sounded, they all stood there erect. Uncle Buddy Robinson, he said they stood there with a backbone bigger than the fall log. They wouldn't bow or bend. And immediately they set to proceeding to heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. And I see the king bring out his easy chair to see what to see the proceedings. And he saw the most amazing sight he ever looked at in his life, because when they threw them in, they were bound. And the book says that he couldn't understand it. Did not we throw three men into that fiery furnace bound? And lo, I see a fourth man, and they're walking around. Omnipotence, omnipotence condescended from the throne to walk down in that fiery furnace with those three Hebrew boys. And beloved, the amazing part about it, their cords had been burned off, but it said when they came out, they didn't even have the smell of fire on them. You say, "Now wait a minute, Mr. Loman. You got to be reasonable." Nothing unreasonable about that. Now, if it was Dr. Chambers or Brother Hoots or Brother Klein or Brother Loman, that'd be a total impossibility. But when you deal with omnipotence, that's not hard for me to see through. Just like I said last night, the God that threw into existence this world and put the queen of night into her orbit to set a golden ray of light across a midnight sky and set the furnace of the sun on fire to shed rays of warmth to Mother Earth and struck the womb of night with his male fist and 10 billion stars gleamed on the stretches of boundless space and scooped out valleys and upreared mountains and say thus far to ocean waves shall thou come and no further and carpeted this earth with verdant green, raced it, laced it with running brooks and with flowing rivers, a God that could paint the late afternoon sunset with all the golden hues of heaven's beauty and set the evening star to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty in the western horizon and blow his breath on the petal of a rose and turn it to a golden yellow, a velvet pink, a crimson red, a lily white, pick up a handful of dust and make man the likeness of his image, breathe into man the breath of life and man become a living soul, a God that could do that. He wouldn't have any trouble keeping smoke from smelling up some of his children that he wanted to deliver out of the fiery furnace. Hallelujah. And it's because they had a dynamic faith. And you and I need to be sure we hold on to our faith. But then last of all, he says, Timothy, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You need to be sure that he admonished Timothy to keep his commitment. Keep your testimony. Keep sound doctrine. Keep your faith and keep your commitment. Now, if you'll pardon the vernacular of the world for the next verse, few minutes, I'm going to get down to the nitty gritty. And I ask every one of you, how about your commitment? I presume that in Christian Union, that your vows to join the church are about like the vows in our church and in the Church of the Nazarene. You have to vow to the committee or to the church that you'll support the church with your presence and with your prayers and with your means as long as you remain in fellowship with the church. And I ask you in regard to that commitment, are you keeping it? Sunday morning comes, you don't sit at the lake all day on Sunday. If your commitment's intact, you don't stay at the park all day on Sunday. You don't buy groceries on Sunday. You don't hang out at the mall on Sunday. You don't mow your grass and paint your house on Sunday and put out your laundry. Hey man, you say that's not popular. I'm not courting popularity. How about your commitment on Sunday night? Sunday night used to be the evangelistic night in the church. That's when things really happen. How long has it been since you've been to church on Sunday night? See, you're not going to have to answer that to your preacher, but to God, like I preached about last night. How many of you long since become so captivated with a boob tube on Sunday night that you don't have time for church? I've slowed down on purpose. Keeping your commitment, standing tall, being counted for truth and righteousness and holiness. Wednesday night, unless you're providentially hindered or working on the second shift, there's no reason under heaven that you couldn't go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Some churches that I know of have 350 on Sunday morning for worship, 25 Wednesday night for prayer meeting. I see some of you know what I'm talking about. You say that gets kind of close, Mr. Loman. I intended for it to. That good thing which was committed unto thee. Some of you board members are honored by your church to be elected to serve on the highest board in the church. And revival comes and you never go. You say you got any scripture, Mr. Loman, that says that I gotta go to prayer meeting? No, I don't have any scripture that says you gotta go to prayer meeting, but I've got scripture that says that you are to be faithful in your attendance of the means of grace, and we're not to forget the assembling of ourselves together. And the fact, beloved, is if you've been to Calvary and the blood's been applied and the grace of God is real and the Holy Ghost abides, it's just a normal thing for you to want to go. Just in case you don't know, I'm going to preach again in the morning. And I imagine some of you might not come back to hear me after this morning, see. But you'll know you've been here when I get through this morning, I'll tell you that now. Keep your commitment. Chicago, some years ago, one of the largest apple distributing companies in America put an ad in the Chicago Tribune, help wanted. Young lady answered that ad. She needed a job. And the man that interviewed her for the job of packaging apples told her what the process was. He said, have you ever had a job packaging apples before? Do you have any experience? She said, no, but it seemed like a simple thing, and I think I can learn. He said, well, we do it a little different maybe than some companies do. He says, you stand at this conveyor belt, and another belt brings the boxes down, and they're timed so that you'll have time to fill a box before the next box comes. But he said, you are to put seconds, inferior apples on the bottom. And as you get closer to the top, you're to put grade A apples on the top. She said, sir, if that's the way you package apples, I can't work for you. He said, why? She said, because that's deception. That's not being honest. Because people that buy a box of those apples see those grade A on top, they expect grade A to be on the bottom too. And I can't package apples for you if that's the way you do it. She started to walk away. He said, come back. We're so far behind. We've got to have help. He says, you take this job. This is your position. And you package those apples any way you want to. And those apples came down off that conveyor belt. She put grade A on the bottom and grade A in the middle and grade A on top. She sealed those boxes, and somewhere along the way, she'd gotten a hold of a package of these little labels, like you have your name and address on, that you put up in the corner of your envelope. But on her labels, there was just the words, holiness unto the Lord. And when she sealed a box, she stuck one of those stickers on one end and another sticker on the other end, holiness unto the Lord. A few weeks passed, the president of the company came down to the packaging department. He asked the superintendent. He didn't know their names. All he knew was a number. He said, where does number so-and-so work? What line do they work on? And the superintendent took him over and introduced him to this young lady. He said, young lady, I never knew your name. All I know is that you got a number. And he said, I got a telegram this morning from the biggest buyer I have in this whole country. And he said to me, and your number was on that telegram. He said, I want you to ship me every box of holiness unto the Lord apples that you can package. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's keeping you committed. That's staying true. That's being honest. And Paul says, Timothy, whatever you do, don't ever be ashamed of the testimony. Whatever you do, hold fast to the form of sound words. Whatever you do, keep your faith. And whatever you do, keep your commitment.
He's the reason for my hope. He's the reason for my confidence. When everything around speaks chaos and despair, there's another voice I hear. Call it divine providence. I just know that when he speaks, he takes away my fear.
Desperate whispers in the dust. Heaven hears my almost silent cry. Doesn't even have to ask me why. Jesus knows my deepest thoughts. With a whisper from his heart, his response is like refreshing rain. He meets my pain. Healing echoes make a start.
He's the reason for my hope. He's the reason for my confidence. divine providence. I just know that when He speaks, He takes away my fear. There's another voice I hear, call it divine providence. I just know that when He speaks, takes away my fear.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.